you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. We're going to deal with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we're going to deal with kind of a different aspect of it here, because we've been dealing with the seven churches of Asia to really understand how Christ feels about us as a church. It's good to go to the seven churches of Asia to hear the issues that he had against that church of that time. Those particular issues, it will explain his feelings toward the church and the different things that we are partaking of. We're on the church of Pergamos, and it's befitting for a resurrection message to talk about what was wrong with Pergamos in this particular era. Let's go to Revelations 2 and 12. We'll start. To the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things saith he which hath the sharp sword and two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth." Now, we can take this one scripture and preach a whole resurrection message, which I'm going to do, and I'm going to try to fit it in this 30-minute time slot that I have. But Jesus is saying, "I know thy works and where you dwell." In other words, I understand why your behavior is like it is, because of where you dwell. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about where Satan's seat is. Now, this is a hint into a lot of things. This is the era where the Church of Rome mixed the doctrine of the Romans in with the doctrine of Christianity, and they came up with this crazy hybrid doctrine that they were teaching. This is the birthplace of the whole idea of Catholicism. Now understand, I'm about to talk about Catholicism, so if you are a Catholic, please listen and do your research and understand why I'm dealing with this on Resurrection Sunday. You know, there is not a denomination of people that celebrate Easter on such a large scale as the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church believe in Easter. They believe in Jesus Christ and carrying crosses and talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. They're very ceremonious. They have all of the garb and all of the trappings of religion. They do the Holy Communion with the wafer, and they do the sprinkling for baptism, and they have all of these ideas of religion. And yet the most demonic doctrine of religion in the world today is the doctrine of Catholicism. Why do I say that? Because the Pope is dead set against the truth of the word and the truth of the Bible. You see the Pope every now and then, you'll turn on TV and you'll see him making his rounds and walking. And here in America, you know, we kind of see him and say, oh, that's the Pope. But the Pope is in the seat of Satan. And I say that with all sincerity, because he is the one who's really controlling pretty much everything that's going on, especially when it comes to government and money. The Vatican and the Pope have all kinds of control. The Pope is the world leader. He's the world leader. He's leading the world right now. And the trappings of Catholicism is what is currently set against our church. It is the mixture of paganism or the mixture of the profane with the sacred, the doctrine of Jesus Christ mixed with the doctrine of idolatry and Baal worship. This is the epitome of it, which is the Catholic Church. Now, let me explain why I say these things. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we're supposed to be what you call Protestants. Now, a Protestant, the word is a derivative of the word protest, which we are protesters. We are Protestants, so we protest Catholicism, meaning that we as true believers of Jesus Christ are fighters against the doctrine of Christianity merged with the doctrine of Baal. Now, Jesus's problem with Pergamos was that particular doctrine, the Nicolaitans, and then the doctrine of Balaam, where they mix Christianity or mix the belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus with pagan or idolatry. Now, how does the Catholic Church do this? By worshiping a man. The Pope is placed in a high position, and his seat is this same seat that God had a problem with. He said Satan's seat dwelled in Pergamos. Why did Satan's seat dwell in Pergamos? Because the actual city of Pergamos, if you do a research on the word, it actually means height or elevation. So this is where the devil was elevated. This is the seat that Lucifer desired back in Isaiah 14, where Lucifer, matter of fact, let's just go to that. Isaiah 14 and 13, we can hear the things that Lucifer desired. Now, this is the seat he desired. He says, the scripture said about Lucifer, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. Finally, I will be like the Most High." In other words, what he was trying to achieve was to be equal to God. The key to that is right here in 14 and 13. He wanted to mount the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, what is the north? You can go all the way north, and if you look up, north is above you. There is no end to north. That means there is no height to north. That means that the most high point is north. Who's most high? That is God. God is the north here because he's the highest point. He's the highest of the high. And here is Lucifer saying, I want to be in the side of the north, at the side of the north. But we know Lucifer can't have that seat because the scripture tells us that Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and his height is the highest, equal to the Father. So we know Lucifer desires that place. Now, let me tell you what Lucifer has done, what Satan has done here in the earth with Catholicism. When they took the doctrine of Jesus Christ and they merged it with the doctrine of false gods or idolatry, which is the doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. We'll talk about the Nicolaitans more next week. But when they took these two doctrines or belief systems and merged them together, Constantine began to do that in this era as well. Take the doctrine of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and merge it with the government of Rome and give control over the ideas of the church to the empire or the government. When we see this come into play, what we begin to see is a man coming out of this that will actually lead. Now, this is a man that will be able to lead government, and this is a man that's able to lead church. We put these two together and we get the leader of the Catholic Church, which is the Pope. The Pope controls governments and money, banks, and then he controls the church and the belief system. But the most dangerous thing about the Pope is that he is placed in a position by the church, he's placed in a position by the Roman Empire in between God and man. In other words, he has set himself up in the position of, guess what? Sin. Because sin is in between God and man. Jesus Christ died. We're celebrating Resurrection Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead to remove that sin that was between man and God. And he became the price of that sin. He destroyed that sin. And now he is the mediator in between God and man. So pay real close attention to this, because the devil don't want you to hear this. But because Christ sitteth as a mediator between God and man, the Pope wants that position, because the Pope is the representative of sin between God and man. Why do I say he's a representative of sin? Because he's the one that takes your sin, and he doesn't take them to the Father. He keeps your sin. In other words, when you go to the little booth and they've got the little screen and you saying, "Father, bless me, for I have sinned." He said, "What are your sins?" You go in there and say, "Oh, I shot somebody. I killed somebody. I hope you didn't do nothing that bad, but I drunk this. I went here. I did that." Then he says, "Five Hail Marys and such and such and such and such." Your sins never make it to the Father. In other words, your sins stay with the priest, because he is the image of sin. He is the one who holds your sin captive, and he keeps your sin from getting to the Father. Oh, I wish I see now. I could really preach this if I had some time, but he stops your sin. So because the Pope is the incarnation of sin, and he keeps the sin is not forgiven. The sin cannot be forgiven by a man. It has to be forgiven by Christ. Christ took his blood on Calvary. He covers your sin, washes you clean, makes you white with his blood, and then he can present you holy and acceptable to the Father. Understand, the Father can accept you with sin, because God cannot stand the sight of sin, because there is no sin in him. So you need Christ to get you out of sin so that you can be presented to the Father. But what does the Pope do? He stands as the mediator. He keeps your sin, and you are still guilty of your sin, ultimately to die in your sin. Now, this is why Catholicism is so demonic. It's the same doctrine that Pergamos was dealing with, because of this elevation or height, which is what the city's name means. This was considered the seat of Satan. Why? Because of the mixture of Christianity and false god worship. We talked about it last week. When you merge those two, there is no more sacrifice for your sin. There is no Jesus to take your sins away, and Satan becomes your God. Why? Because he has your sin. The very name Satan means accuser. He's an accuser because he has your sin. When the Pope takes your sin, he keeps it. He can accuse you of your sin because he has your sin. That is why we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ that died for us to take away our sins. Let's dig a little deeper into this, y'all. I'm really feeling this, if you can tell, and I really wish I had a little more time on this Resurrection Sunday. But let's go into this, and we can say in that same passage 2 and 13, "You haven't denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." So God is saying again, this is Satan's territory, the elevation where Satan is lifting himself up to be like the Most High. And then you've got this man Antipas, who is standing up for the truth of the word against Satan in this time, or Lucifer, and he is fighting the power. The name Antipas means against all. So here we have a man that is standing in the middle of this big mixture and merge of Christianity and paganism, and he is standing up, and ultimately they kill him. He becomes a martyr. They actually fried him alive and just burned him to death, and he prayed the whole time, believer in God. His name is against all, and his name also, and a lot of theologians have placed his name to mean anti-pope, Antipas. Okay, now what is that all about? Well, the idea of Antipas is to not believe that the Pope should be a mediator between man and God, but we believe Jesus Christ is the mediator between man and God. So the whole idea of Catholicism is demonic and anti-Christ, because it denies Christ as the mediator, and it places man in that position. We can go to Hebrews 4. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Not the throne of the Pope, not the seat of Satan, but come boldly before the throne of grace. That is the throne of Jesus Christ. And because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we can go straight to him. We don't need a man in the middle as a mediator, but we have Christ as our mediator. Okay, I got a little time here, so I have to jump into this part of it so you can get a good understanding of what I am saying. What is the curse of Catholicism? Well, whenever a man is lifted up as a god, whenever a man is placed in a position of a god to be revered as a god, he's going to have a flesh desire to be pleasured. Now, the highest or the heightening of self-worship in the flesh is sexual perversion or immorality. This is, if you do the research on the pharaohs, on Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, King Herod, all these men, you know, that the ones that wore two earrings. Oh, that's a whole nother message right there. But the ones that wore two earrings and had vain looks about them, they wore those to signify that when they wanted to be pleasured, they could enjoy the pleasure of men and women. They were bisexual. They can enjoy all the pleasures of the flesh. Nothing would be denied them. That is ultimate self-worship when you can enjoy all the pleasures of the flesh. Now, listen to this, though. The highest power that you can have over a person is to sexually dominate that person. In other words, if you're able to oppress them sexually or take their sexuality or their purity, so to speak, then you have supreme flesh power over them. So a man, now listen to this, that can take the sexuality of another man has the highest power over that man in the flesh. I'm going somewhere. This is going to be good. When that man can cause another man to sexually submit to him, he has supreme flesh authority over that man. That is the highest position in the natural that he can dominate a man with by taking his sexuality. This is why the Catholic Church is created the way it is, where you have priests and bishops and cardinals, and they always have those little altar boys falling around them. Why? They don't want the desire of a woman. That is natural. That is creation. God gets the glory out of a male's desire of a woman in marriage and coming together and create. The idea of creation brings the creator glory. Understand that. So they want the opposite, where Daniel 11 and 37 says the Antichrist will not have a desire of a woman because he's anti-creation. They want that. So what they want to do is they want men or young boys to sexually submit to them. That is their highest authority over a man. Now, what does this do? Now, this does several things to these young boys. And I've talked to a lot of these altar boys. I talked to one even at the mall the other day, and he was telling me how he doesn't want to have anything to do with church. He hates church. And it's because the priest he was under was molesting him. So now he doesn't have a desire for church. And now church seems domineering and hurtful to him. So when you mention church, he thinks of physical acts that hurt him. So now when you preach the gospel to this young man and you preach the truth of the word, what does he say? He says, oh, you're being hateful. You're being mean. That's just hate. You're preaching a hate message. Why? Because in his mind, he has associated Christianity and Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus with that priest that defiled him. And he's thinking that whenever you mention Christ, you're talking hate. Well, this is why the homosexual community now that has been created through this Catholicism and this church, these young men cry out, you're hating and your words are hateful. And all you're doing is preaching the truth of the word. It's because their idea of God and Christianity has been distorted, because there was a man in the middle keeping their sins and dominating them with the Bible and stealing their malehood and creating an idea in their mind that Christianity is hurtful. And this is why the whole world now, the homosexual community, is raising up. And as they raise up, men are becoming softer and softer, and they don't want to hear the truth of the word. No, the priest was like that. That pope was like that, because you were a part of a religious belief system that has to cause you to sexually submit to the leadership. This is the highest honor a man has in the flesh, is to cause another man to sexually submit to him. Now, where am I going with all this? Well, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ placed Jesus as the mediator. And if we keep Jesus in between us and God, he prays for us and intercedes for us that our sins be forgiven. He takes our sins away and forgives us. It's not a man sitting there that can hold it against us and keep our sins. See, and the reason I'm really preaching this is because the Pentecostal church and the Protestants that are supposed to be protesting Catholicism, we're supposed to be protesting the man in the middle concept, we're supposed to be preaching against it, we're submitting to it now. What do I mean by that? Look at the leaders, look at the bishops. A lot of these bishops have men running behind them, putting Carmex on their lips, carrying all their clothes and changing them, washing them. They're doing the same thing the altar boys used to do. They're being dominated. Their sexuality is being stolen from them by another man, and they're becoming sexually submissive to men. These men don't have desires of women. Yeah, they'll have a wife, because you're supposed to have that when you're pastoring, but they don't love their wife. They don't even consummate their marriage through their wife, but they have all these homosexual boys following them around. Look at the headlines, y'all. Come on now. You see it. I mean, once a week, we're seeing some preacher that's caught with a little boy that wants a boy, that's caught with a man that wants a man. We're seeing all these gay and homosexual messages and all this old he motions and homosexual foolishness that's being preached, where men laying their head on each other's chest and confiding, and then making old nasty gay movies where men's shirts off and they hugging and all that. See, all of that stuff is Catholicism, because men have been lifted up as a mediator between God and the people. You can't touch the man of God. Oh no, you get your hand slapped and your wrist broke. You can't walk up to him and just talk to him. You can't shake his hand. Oh no, he's got men around him keeping you from him, because he wants to remain high and lifted up. Just like Pergamos has the meaning of elevation, but God said that ain't elevation, that's the seat of Satan, because you're lifting yourself up equal to God, and you are just a man. And we hear all these men preach that benign Elohim foolishness, where they believe that the scripture is calling men actual gods and telling us that we can be gods. And that's not what Psalms 82 and Exodus 7 is saying. That word Elohim there only means ruler. It's not that you are a god. It's a little g, because it's talking about God in you. The judges of that time, the people lifted them up as gods, and God was saying, no, you're going to burn and die just like a normal man, because the small g just means God is in you, not you are God. So when they start preaching that so they can drive the Bentleys and fly in the helicopters and get the jets and all of this stuff, and they want you to treat them like gods, and they want you to lift them up and worship them like gods. See, that's very inconsistent, because I've heard them all preach that we are all gods. If we're all gods, then what are you, super God? Are you a bigger God? You're preaching that we should do all this for you? Then what are you? You grand God? I mean, I don't understand the concept of that. It is Catholicism. It's the same doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It's the same doctrine of the Pope and the papacy. This is to lift men up in the position to be worshipped. What do we find in these men's closets? We find homosexuality. We find defilement of children and molestation. We see men falling behind them and all around them and doing everything for them, and combing their hair and you know, just massaging their shoulders and all this old foolish homosexual immorality that is bled over from Catholicism, because men have sought to adopt the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. They've sought to adopt the doctrine of the papacy and the Pope. Understand what G. Craig is saying right now. This doctrine is of the devil. This is the doctrine of devils, and it's causing people to miss God, because they are trusting men in the place of Christ. You see these mega churches and most of the folk in there can't even tell you what it meant when Jesus died on Calvary. They can't even tell you what Jesus was doing. They don't understand. Jesus died to help us. He died to take our sins away. He died to give us a message that if you live in sin, you will die. You will be in danger. But if you accept Jesus Christ and come out of your sin, you can have eternal life. Listen, people of God, this is a serious message, probably one of the most important messages you'll ever hear. You're wondering what's going on with all this man worship and these men being lifted up. Did you know, I've talked to people that have these books and tapes from all these preachers I'm talking about, and I ask them, have you listened to all the tapes? No. Have you read the books? No. Then what are you doing with them? I just have them because that's my bishop. And I'm like, listen to this. And then look in the congregations, a bunch of what? Homosexuals. Whenever homosexuals can sit together as couples and come in church and never desire to change, that tells you everything about the leadership. That speaks volumes about what's going on in the lives of the leaders. But that is the curse of Catholicism. The Catholics want homosexuality. They want okay. Even though in the public eye, they stand against it. But then look at the news, the headlines about the altar boys and the priest. It tells a whole different story. Why? Because to have a man sexually submit to you is supreme power over an individual. This is what the Church of Pergamos was about at this particular time. They mixed those doctrines. Listen, y'all, we have to stop mixing that Catholic foolishness into our Protestant movement. We are pro testers. We protest that a man should not be in between us and God. We can come boldly to God ourselves. Yes, we should have leaders. Don't get me wrong. God has chosen the fivefold ministry to govern the body of Christ and to lead us and teach us the word of God. But when it comes to that sexual submission and domineering control, we don't place a man. God said, give no man that kind of power over you. People of God, Jesus is the only way, the only forgiver of our sins. And unless he forgives our sins are not forgiven. Let me pray. Father God, I believe this message was from you. And though I didn't have all the time I wish I had, God, we'll deal with it more later. But Father, I believe that the crux of it was spoken. I believe, God, you're wanting to do a new thing in the body of Christ. You're wanting to dispel this junk and all this foolishness. You're wanting to dispel these lies and this Catholicism, this merging of the world and the church's systems, this system of religion. And God, you wanting to take the Catholicism out of your body so your power can freely operate once again. Father God, we love your word and we love what you did for us. We love that your son Jesus died. And God, we want it to be heard all over this world that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He takes away our sins. And this is not the place that a man should have. And I pray right now, every child that was molested, every young boy that is going through that, every armor bearer, God, everyone that is walking with bishops and pastors and they are sexually violating them, God, I pray against that spirit right now with the authority you've given me, God, that those people will not be hurt, that their mind will not be messed up where they can't come to you, where their confidence in you will be restored, God, and they will see that that is a foolish man and not you. God, they can see the difference between what is truth and what is a lie. And if they're in bondage of it right now, Father God, I pray they come out of the bondage. God, I pray that they tell everybody what's going on, that they stand up, Father God, and let folks know that don't follow this man because he has an appetite for me. Father, you have to do this in this day. Father, you have to do this in this hour, God, so that the truth will be known. And Father, the lie will be dispelled in the body of Christ. God, you gave your son and he forgives our sin and he is the big God. And Father God, the only time we are even considered as little g is when you're in us and your presence christens us with authority. Father God, I believe your word is true and I believe this broadcast is your truth in Jesus' name. We'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
Thank you for joining us for a True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Join us here each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can also visit us online at true-church.org.